Hello, hello! You are now listening to Mushtar FM 89.6. This is a free topic show, and I'm your host, Nata. I'm super excited because we're gonna dive into one of my most favorite topics, which is education and self-improvement in general. So I really wanted to make a podcast about the concept of StudyGram, because StudyGram is some unique phenomenon in modern internet. But I'm going to follow one of the educational rules, which is to teach and to go in general, from general to particular stuff. This is actually how information is given in the lesson. From easy to difficult, from general to particular, from familiar to new. So let's start with education and self-improvement in general. But we're not going to become pessimistic because I don't want to discuss how school and this, like, massive approach can kill students' motivation to study. Just, you see, I don't want to see education as only something which is happening in schools. Actually, there are at least three types of education, if we divide them by, like, existence of hierarchy and also the place where you study, the period of your studies, the way you're studying. So if we use this criteria and divide education into different types, we will have three, which are formal, non-formal, and informal. Formal education is linked with the schools and training institutions, universities also. It is education where strict hierarchy exists, and you are either on the position of student or a teacher. You are given certain amount of information in certain amount of time, and in certain amount of time you are expected to show your knowledge of this information. Non-formal education is connected to community groups and other organizations like NGOs, non-governmental non-profit organizations. It is learning through doing something when you first experience thing. Non-formal activity usually takes place not in official institution, but at some organization where people are more or less equal. There can be a trainer and there can be trainees, but the trainer does not exactly give information to his trainees, but more like gives them tasks to do through doing which people will understand and learn something. If you are in European Union, then there are a lot of non-formal opportunities for you. Non-formal methods are often used during youth exchanges or during ESC volunteering, which I'm doing now. Usually during non-formal activities, you have either a trainer or coordinator, mentor, or all of them together. And after doing something, after experiencing something, you can go and discuss with them and they can lead your reflection on what just happened to help you learn. That is the non-formal education. Third branch of education is informal one, and it covers what is left, basically. Your interactions with friends, family, work, colleagues, just your normal life. If you were going home from work and you lost your wallet, it is your informal experience, and you can learn something from it. And what you learn from it will be your informal education. Also, if in your educational process there is no one else except you, it is also informal. When you are studying through social media or videos in YouTube, people there kind of put themselves on the position of teacher, but they don't ask information from you afterwards. So it is your own responsibility to have your study plan and study. Actually, such self-study I would put in between these three types of education, because you can be for yourself a teacher, a mentor, a trainer, and you're just going with the flow, whatever happens to you. Another argument to this idea is that in all the kinds of education, your activeness and also proactiveness are really important. So I already, as you may noticed, started hinting at self-studying and self-improvement, which is motivated and stimulated by yourself, not by someone else. Because I believe that my generation and, like, generation a bit younger, we are so active and we want to study everything and we really put our efforts in it. I think now it's becoming more and more popular to actually be educated, to know a lot, geography, languages, to be generally curious about what is happening, to read more, to understand more, to try more, to experience more, to be aware of what's happening in the world and also what happened in the plot of the book written in 18th century. So generally, I would say that sparkles in the eyes now are really fashionable to have. And many opportunities as there could be. Today I want to focus only on one of them, and it will be about learning languages, because I'm a crazy linguist and trying to be a polyglot. So for me this topic is really essential, and I want to share the concept of StudyGram, which I am going to start soon. So yes, studies by ourselves can be done in many, many different ways. And I want to mention that StudyGram is only one small drop in the whole sea of opportunities. So the StudyGram is a word which appeared from the word to study and Instagram. That's how you can understand that this is basically done on the Instagram platform, and this is a tool for studying. I wrote down some list of main features of StudyGram as a concept, as a study tool, because I was considering whether to start it or not, and that's what I have. So StudyGram is a big opportunity to be involved in a community, in a group of people. Having a StudyGram means that you have an Instagram page which is dedicated only to your studies. There may be a few photos of yours or some information about yourself, but mainly it is about your goals in studying many languages, because that's what I know, but maybe there can be StudyGram for something else, not languages, your learning progress, your life hacks and just how it's going. And through this Instagram page, you are finding more people who you share interests with, or maybe you share languages, or maybe you can ask for advice or give advice to them. So to start StudyGram is not difficult. You just start a new Instagram page and put there whatever you feel comfortable with. We are going to discuss content a bit later. To find other StudyGrams is not difficult either. You can just search for StudyGrams, because many people write in their pages that it's a StudyGram. Or when you follow one or two, you will receive more and more in the list of suggestions. That's what happened to me. But I still remember the first StudyGram page I followed. It was a Hungarian guy studying a lot of languages at the same time. And I followed him because I was studying Hungarian then. And then more and more StudyGrams were put in my suggestions, and I started following them and also found this big community of polyglots. That's how it happened, like 3 years ago or something. Another funny thing is how to recognize a StudyGram for languages is that we always put flags of the languages we study and speak in our bio. It's a really funny thing to open someone's page and see there are 7 flags of different countries, and it basically means that person is interested in these languages. Sometimes it's also written like English flag, C1, German flag, B1, Japanese flag, A2. And it's super funny, we also make fun of ourselves for putting flags in our bio, it's funny. Another distinctive feature of StudyGram is that we like to do this or that game or any other type of bingo. Frankly speaking, for me, everything like this is bingo, is when you take some template of Instagram story. Okay, let's take bingo. And there is a big square with the squares smaller inside. And in every square, something is written like, have never studied Chinese, or once cried over German pronunciation, or spoke to native speaker of this or that language. So you take this template of a story, you post it in your stories, and then you put some funny symbol on those squares which are true about you. That's how you play this bingo, and you just share. You can also mention some of your StudyGram friends in this story. So next story you post the template, and that's how this template like spreads and everyone starts to do this. It's super funny. And I may also mention this or that template is the template that there are, for example, 2 columns and there are questions like which one you prefer, and you also need to tick or like highlight the one from the right column or from the left column. It can be like this or that. Which Germanic language would you rather study? Dutch or Norwegian? What would you rather use for studying languages? YouTube or Spotify? And so on and so forth. For a few times, I already mentioned polyglots because study Korean for languages and polyglots kind of go together. I know there is no exact explanation what is a polyglot. So polyglot can speak three languages, but also can speak 10 languages or I don't know. But if you use your Instagram page to study languages, sometimes you start to get more and more languages and you cannot stop anymore. So that's how you become a polyglot, and you can be polyglot alone, but you can also be a polyglot inside a polyglot community. There are many of them. Some of them make meetings in different countries during the year. Frankly speaking, I didn't find any suitable for me now, as now I'm in Hungary and I don't know where I can join, and for it not to be too expensive, join a polyglot gathering. But it would be nice. I saw some pictures. They put flags like in the bio, in the Instagram, on their t-shirt. And you just go in this event and you see a person who shares one of your languages. And you address this person in this language and you have just a normal talk. I adore this idea so much, but I haven't been on any real events of polyglots. So it doesn't matter that online events don't exist. No. Like 1 year ago, I found another polyglot community, which is called Polyglot Youth. This is a project which appeared 2.5 years ago. And now these guys from all over the world, seriously, they are teaching languages for people who would like to study them, from natives or just from other people. You can find them if you search in Instagram Polyglot Youth Project, and you can join them as mentor, so the one who teaches languages, or mentee, so the one who studies languages, or other position to help to organize this process of learning. Another feature of StudyGrams is that we adore linguistics, many of us. There was also a page of a really, really cool linguist when she was studying her master's degree. I think now she finished and she announced that she will not post anymore, but I adored this page so much. The page was called Daily Dose of Linguistics, and it was not a StudyGram, but I think I will not be wrong if I say that many of us, of polyglots and linguists, we subscribe this page because every day she was posting a really interesting fact about some language or some part of linguistics like phonology or syntax, and it was so interesting, especially when one of the languages that you see in her post is one of the languages that you study, so you can apply this knowledge to your own study process. And also there is a StudyGram of a Japanese boy. He's a bit younger than me, but he speaks more languages than I do. That's always so a shame. And so he is really a master of Slavic languages. He studied a few of them and he made his own language, which you actually can listen to in my different podcast I did about Slavic languages. And so he is mainly focused on Slavic languages and posts the information for other people studying this. And that's how you can exchange information and help each other. So it's not only about your individual learning process. It is about finding people with same interests and exchange help. Another feature of StudyGram is basically what is on the wall of this Instagram page. And that is setting goals, setting schedules, and also setting updates of your studying languages. For example, in the bio, people announce with the flags that they are studying these 5 or 6 languages, and then on their wall they do posts when they write, my goals for 2023 is to have this level in this language, this level in this language, and be able to watch this TV show in this language. These are the goals for the year. Then they can put goals for 1 month or for 1 week, it depends, or just describe what I'm gonna do this weekend about these 3 languages. Some people prefer schedules more, so they put the whole schedule on their page. Some people don't use schedules because StudyGram is your opportunity to learn to learn, understand which tools work better for you and which methods are suitable for you. You can open pages of other people and see what are they doing, and then you try it, and what is suitable you take, and what is not you let go. Some people also using counting time. There are some applications when you can grow a tree if you study for 20 or 30 minutes. I think this is called a Pomodoro technique. I used to use it before, but I understood that for me it doesn't work, so I let it go. But for some people it works, and they grow trees when they are studying languages, and then in the end of the week or the month they can see actually how many hours you studied this language and this language. And you can also see a really beautiful garden that you made in this application while you were studying. Some people focus on design skills more, some people focus on this less, because it is only up to you if you want your page to look beautiful and how much time you can spend to make this page beautiful. And some minor characteristics for me of a studygram is that people who have them sometimes are also aware of mental health, so language studies and mental health go hand in hand for their profiles. Also, sometimes we like to support minorities, because when you study real languages, it's really difficult not to support minorities. So the owner of a studygram is normally a really tolerant and open-minded person. And also we like different cultures, maybe different song contents, maybe traditions, or maybe literature. So studying a language is never a single hobby of yours. Another minor characteristic is that we sometimes like joining challenges, is when someone posts that this week I will spend 1 hour to this language and I will be watching one episode of this TV show in this language every evening, and we say, okay, I'm in, or we start these challenges and wait for other people to join. But my most favorite characteristic of a studygram is that you can always receive help. It helped me a lot already. So when I need people to, okay, maybe when I need natives to check my text in German, I just put it on my Instagram, which is not even yet a studygram, but still some people can answer this story and say that, oh, hello, I don't know you, but I'm German native and I can check your text. And they do it just voluntarily without anything. And you also share a lot of emotions during this short conversation, because you understand that people on all the globe, they are not negative toward you. They are all really friendly and really eager to share good experiences. So there is no reason to share bad experiences and spread any kind of negative emotions. People are always super nice and sending a lot of emojis and liking your answers all the time, or liking your stories or commenting them. That is what I like. One of my polyglot friends who really has a studygram and like spends more time for this than I do, he says that he has a lot of friends all over the globe who he found through this studygram, because you just reply their story once, then they replied your story, and then like in a month you find out that you have a lot in common and you start to speak more and more. But not everything, of course, is so positive about the concept of studygram. I would like to mention some of the disadvantages I noticed, and I think unfortunately there can be some more minor disadvantages, is that sometimes this concept becomes a bit toxic to yourself, to your mental health. For which reasons? Okay, I mentioned that you can put nice design to your page, but sometimes it's too much a pressure to make your studygram actually looking beautiful, to post really often and to have a nice design. I'm myself really bad at design, so I don't know what symbol I want to have as an emblem of my studygram. And also, when you have a post in Instagram, you cannot just put text. You need to put picture and then put some text below it. But to make this picture, because how a normal picture in a normal studygram looks like, it's your notebook and also a book of some language. Then goes your pencil or pen and some like colors, some stickers. And this picture with your like process of studying looks really nice. But sometimes you just feel too much pressure to make this beautiful picture. And during your process of study, instead of studying, you start to think how to make this picture beautiful and waste time on making this nice picture. So you're putting your study book and also your notebook and your stationery to not the best way for you to study, but the best way for people to see it on your Instagram. For me, this is the biggest disadvantage, because I really don't like all this design stuff. I'm really bad at this. So I feel that other people are better than me, but it doesn't influence your studygram so much. So why should it? Also, I mentioned that some people count time, or just they decide that they will be posting every week, or they post their goals on their page. For me, it's really a big question of motivation, because motivation can be of at least two types, which is extrinsic and intrinsic. So while intrinsic motivation is about your desire to do something, your setting goals to yourself, not to anyone else, and only your own checking your progress of studying, extrinsic motivation is about reporting your successes to someone else. For example, at school, if you are really interested in the subject and you just want to know the answer for the question for your own curiosity, it is intrinsic motivation. But when you know that you will receive a mark and you will have to set an exam and have a good mark on it, and maybe when your parents say that if you finish this semester without any bad marks, we will buy you something, all of this is extrinsic motivation, which basically kills your intrinsic motivation. So when there appears something from outside, your inner motivation becomes really vulnerable and can disappear. But in real world, like grown-ups world, you cannot achieve much at all only using extrinsic motivation, because you will only do what you need to get your salary and some benefits you want to achieve. But I don't think this is the way to be a happy adult. If we are speaking about studygram and motivation, it will be about if you want to study these languages yourself, and if you want to have this lesson during this time because you decided so, or because it is in your schedule which you share with others and now you cannot escape it because you already shared it. So you will feel uncomfortable if you announce something and don't follow this. For me, counting time didn't work because this was extrinsic motivation and I knew that I need to study for 20 minutes, but it was not written like what exactly I need to study. So I was just spending these 20 minutes somehow, not exactly studying the best way I could, but my tree, which just needed 20 minutes of whatever, it grew. So the extrinsic motivation worked, but the learning outcome was really small. And yeah, if I need to put a beautiful picture where I share my results, that this week I studied 4 hours of this language, and that I watched this show and I listened to this song, then unfortunately my intrinsic motivation will be too vulnerable and will disappear, and after all, I will not be doing as much. So motivation question is really a big, big disadvantage of studygram, and I still didn't find the solution for it myself. Also, a disadvantage is that you can start comparing yourself to other studygrams, but if they are spending more time on beautiful pictures and maybe they just have more talents in language learning or they have more time, then you will find yourself in a really unpleasant position when you understand that someone younger than you speaks more languages. And just this whole process of comparing, it is unhealthy for your personality. Sometimes in studygrams, people can also ask you why you don't study this exact language. For example, you posted that this year I'm interested in these 7 languages and also these 3 ones I will consider, and a native speaker of one of these 3 languages you have not decided yet about will text you why didn't you start studying this language, or so you study some rare languages and people are saying that you better study German or French or Italian because these are really big languages, or they can start telling you that you need to study Chinese because Chinese is the future. But it just was not your choice. Why people should put pressure on you and decide instead of you? You should be ready for these situations if you are studying your studygram. And in general, some studygrams can give image that studying languages is really easy and it's always nice and beautiful, but it can be deceptive because any work is a hard work. And if a polyglot speaks in his studygram on the videos in his stories 4 or 5 languages really fluently, it doesn't mean that it was just given to him in the ready condition. No, it also took a lot of hours of preparation and studying before, which you might not see in some studygrams. These were the disadvantages of studygram for me. I'm now thinking of starting a studygram because I sometimes share some moments of my language studies in my main Instagram page, but I never set goals there or shared my results there. I think it can be useful to track my results just in order to understand that I'm having some progress. Sometimes I can think that I'm stuck at this level at this language and I'm not progressing, but if I track, I can find out that it's not true. For example, my native languages are Russian and Belarusian. I also speak English, like C1, and now I'm really interested in Hungarian, Turkish and Polish. That's for now. I also studied German and Japanese. You know, it is just so difficult to choose. It's the biggest polyglot problem. And what I'm gonna do is think what I can use to study grammar and vocabulary in these two languages. But most importantly is not grammar and vocabulary, but the four spheres of language, four parts of language, which is listening, writing, reading, and speaking. So when I put my goals about each language, I need to think how I'm gonna develop all these four parts, or at least those I think I need. Again, this is the side of studygram when you personalize your studying experience, which is the best characteristic of it. For example, for Hungarian, which is the highest level of all these three languages for me, I have a book of vocabulary. I also have application for vocabulary. And for me, it's really important to listen to the language. So in the application, all the words are pronounced, but in the book, obviously not. But on the contrary, in the book, there are short texts and dialogues like with these words per lesson, which shows words in the context. So I think vocabulary is covered for Hungarian. For reading, writing, and speaking, I bought a really nice book made here in Debrecen University, which is about short tales and stories, which you read, and then practice the vocabulary from the story in the exercise. Oh, I said speaking, but basically speaking is always the problem. Maybe writing topics can help. My German teacher was giving us topics to write, and it really helped my speaking abilities. I was also writing my diary in Hungarian for some time. So writing is the draft of speech. And it may seem funny, but in Hungary, I really lack opportunities of practicing speaking Hungarian. But that's like my own problem. As for Polish, I also have application with the words. I have a video course in YouTube for grammar. It's for Russian speakers, so it should be easier. Because to study Polish through the medium of English, for me, Belarusian speakers should be really funny. Because literally, I understand like 50% of Polish without even studying this. For reading, I stole a book when I was in Poland. Okay, I didn't steal it. I just took the book which they suggested to take about European Union. And I just took it. It was written for Polish speakers, but I didn't care. And now I use it to read in Polish about European Union. For listening in Polish, I use my favorite playlist of retro Polish songs in Spotify. It's possible to open lyrics and track them while listening or just listen to the song itself. Writing and speaking are now a bit bad, but writing and speaking are active spheres of communication while listening and reading are passive. And it's really important that from the very beginning of studying language, active and passive are kinda the same. Because if you only receive passive information, then you will not be able to speak anyway. However long you study the language, if it's only passive studies, you will not speak. And for Turkish, I also made a playlist with my favorite songs. But my studies are mainly just receiving explanation from a native speaker, watching TV shows with Turkish subtitles. So now it's just fun, but when I start a studygram, I hope my Turkish studies will become more serious and concrete. Okay, this podcast appeared to be quite long and I'm happy that I did it. I hope you will enjoy it when I edit it and broadcast it. I also wanted to give a short Russian lesson in the end, but I don't know if there is enough time for it. Anyway, thank you for listening. It was Mushtar FM 89.6, which you can listen on any podcast platform when you Google ESC Mushtar Has or ESC Mushtar FM. It was Nata, and the topic was the concept of studygram. Thank you, bye-bye.